Hey everyone, welcome to the first and hopefully not the last of the ideally weekly podcast brought to you by peakofserenity.com, which, at least for now, we're calling Peakcraft Podcast until a better name comes along. This is aimed to be the spiritual successor to the short-lived Walking the Wind podcast that was done back in Legion. It was something that was requested and is back now by popular demand. The aim of the podcast is to provide a little bit of extra information, a complement to the written information, guides, and articles that are on peakofserenity.com. So if you like our podcast and the other content on Peak, don't forget to support the site through Patreon. That gets you access to the patron-only Discord channel. It also gets you access to ask questions, like a Q&A that we'll answer at the end of the podcast. And as the podcast, if the podcast continues to grow, it'll get you access to additional goodies, like access to the live stream, maybe additional content, stuff like that. We'll start this week with discussing just generally how the expansion's been going for monks. And in the future, we'll split it out and focus on one spec at a time to go into more depth with that. So let's get started with the introductions. I'm Babylonius, and I will be your host. I'm currently the owner and administrator of the Peak of Serenity Monk Discord, the main Windwalker guide writer for Peak and Wowhead, the original creator of Peak's Windwalker predecessor, Walking the Wind, as well as a couple of things that I'm sure I'm forgetting. I raid in Occasional Excellence on Terralian, on the U.S. Terralian server. If you want to find me on any social media, you can find me on Twitter and YouTube under Babylonius Monk and on Twitch under just Babylonius. So without talking about myself too much, on to our guests. Here representing Brewmasters is Paoni. Is that how we pronounce your name?
It's close enough. Most just settle on Panini eventually.
Gotcha. Well, welcome, Panini. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am the currently the one of the Brewmaster spec leaders for the Peak of Serenity site and also the main Brewmaster guide writer. I write in Deadbeat Dads on the UR on Zul'jin on US. Don't really have much social media that I really post on her. I mostly just hang out in the Discord, talk around there. You can always catch me on there answering questions and stuff like that if you ever need to contact me. But yeah, I'm just here to represent Brewmasters for this. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming. Next, representing Windwalkers is Anomaly, a name you may have heard from certain other places. So, Anomaly, welcome, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I think the first thing is I'm here from Mistweavers. I don't think I played Windwalker.
Did I say Windwalker?
You did.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. From Mistweaver, yeah. So I'm in Peak all the time, mod. I write the main contributor for the WoW Analyzer module for Mistweaver. So, kind of, I'm the person that makes it tell you you're doing great or you're doing terrible for now. I raid with Decidedly Uncouth on Mal'Ganis. So kind of hanging out there. Social media wise, I'm pretty much only on Twitch. You can catch me at just Anomaly there. But yeah, that's me. Kind of just writing WoW Analyzer stuff and streaming some sick progress. So.
Awesome. Well, I know for many of us, WoW Analyzer is a very important tool, so I know you were kind of the first person that brought it to my attention, so I appreciate your work on that. And you're definitely probably one of the most notable since your name shows up first on the list of moderators.
Exactly.
All right, so here actually representing Windwalker is Hina Lover, another name that you may be familiar with if you've been around with the Windwalker community for a while. So Hina, welcome, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I feel like the grandpa of the group because I've been here for so long. But yeah, I've been I'm the main developer for Simulation Craft for the monk module. So I work with Windwalker monks, Brewmaster monks, and I've tried to toy with Mistweaver DPS stuff like that. But I've been basically doing theater crafting work since the Wrath of the Lich King. So I've been at this for a long time, and I played Windwalker since day one. Currently, I'm on Sargeras in the guild their retirement home with Ariel and Sunny. So I still raid with them. We're just about to start working on Mythic, so here's hoping.
Awesome. Well, good. I'm glad, you know, we have all three specs represented, even though I tried to lump Anomaly in with Windwalkers. So let's get right down to it. So the first thing I figure we'll talk about is just the main differences that you guys noticed for each of your specs between Legion and Battle for Azeroth. You know, what were kind of the big things that changed? So I guess let's start with Brewmasters.
So I mentioned this when we were going to get here to set podcast, but I actually, most of the primary spec changes were so unmemorable that I actually had to go look up the list again. But I mean, really the biggest things that I mean, the most noticeable is losing the legendaries just by far. The rotational changes from losing, especially the chests and the shoulders, were really, really noticeable. That combined with the threat changes and the reduced range on Keg Smash are really the biggest things that most people will notice. There were a few other little things. Losing opposite determination for those, like it was basically a free healing orb every time you drop below 35% health, which for most people meant absolutely nothing, and for a few people who knew how to horrendously abuse it, was an absolutely god tier artifact trait. But yeah, I mean, by and large, most of the reason Brewmaster is doing so well right now, as funny as it is to say it, is because it didn't really change from Legion. We basically just stayed where we were.
Awesome, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about threat changes later in the podcast, since I know that's something that's been hotly spoken about recently after the 8.1 PTR data mining stuff started.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so how about Mistweavers? What were some of the big changes for Mistweavers between Legion and and Battle for Azeroth?
Everything. I mean, Mistweavers got a pretty big rework going into Battle for Azeroth, and definitely something we probably needed. We were pretty bad for most of Legion. But yeah, some of the biggest ones is they kind of dropped Fuse and made Soothing Mist an actual castable ability instead of just something they tacked on at the end of a like a passive they tacked on at the end of our single target heals in Legion. So it's kind of a really big change. But generally, I mean, similar to, I guess, Brewmasters, we were hit the least by the legendary changes. So losing legendaries wasn't a big deal for Mistweaver. I think, honestly, we targeted the non-spec specific ones for the most part. So yeah, I mean, I think coming in, we were one of the least changed healers or the least impacted healers by those legendary miss or losing those pieces. And then just in general, we were kind of just a couple small tweaks that kind of made us just generally better. So, I mean, I think for Mistweaver, it was more like everybody else kind of didn't get as good, and Mistweaver just stayed the same. So we've kind of risen to the top now. So yeah, we're in a pretty good spot. It's good. I like BFA so far.
Awesome. Glad to hear. And so now Windwalkers. Hina, what were some of the bigger changes for Windwalkers?
Artifact-wise, not a whole lot. Almost all of our artifact abilities either got converted into baseline abilities or into talents, and or split up into talents, such as Strike of the Windlord got split up into Fist of the White Tiger. And but in terms of legendaries, there weren't a whole lot that we relied upon too heavily, and most of them, such as the chest being more of a single target, and that just changed up our rotation more than anything else. And the helm was rose to prevalence because of the tier bonus. But then you had the wrists and the boots, which just passively gained buffs for abilities we already used. So it wasn't a whole lot change that affected our rotation, but so overall, we just kind of stayed the same as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd mostly agree with that. I think as a Windwalker, the only thing I would mention was the change to Blackout Kick, reducing the cooldown on Fists and Rising Sun Kick.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's probably the biggest change that helps speed up the rotation a little bit, but you still have, but because the artifact ability that increased your energy from 100 to 140, with gnomes being a little bit more, that did help slow down the rotation a little bit, and it's enough to be noticeable.
Good. Awesome. Well, so that should be hopefully a nice review of some of the things that were changed. So let's get started with the beginning of the expansion. How did the beginning of the expansion go for you guys? How was the leveling experience? What did you like about it? What did you dislike about it? What spec did you play? Stuff like that.
Go ahead.
I had tons of fun with it because I was leveling with a group, so I basically just stayed in Brewmaster, dropped a statue, and pulled the entire internet. It was a little cheesy, but it felt really fun. Basically, just AoE everything down as fast as you can and just move on.
Yeah, I could see how that would be fun. How about from the Mistweaver perspective, Anomaly? Did you stay Mistweaver?
No, I definitely 100% went Windwalker to level, and it wasn't bad. Like I honestly hate leveling in general, so I turned on Azeroth Autopilot and just kind of did what it told me for the 6 hours it took, and that was pretty much it. So, a couple of interesting quests, a couple of really terrible zones. Like I had leveled on beta beforehand, so I realized that leveling Horde, like the Vol'Dun or whatever, is awful in general, so you want to kind of avoid that to start. But leveling wise in Windwalker was just great. I pulled a lot more than I thought I could, which was a lot of fun, and Windwalker just has really good burst kind of from a leveling perspective, so you can get a lot of stuff done. So
cool. And Hina, as the resident Windwalker, how was leveling for you?
Fairly well, actually. I had to work a lot, so I wasn't able to take off any time. So I did Monday night, Tuesday night, and then finished up Wednesday in the afternoon. And I was able to pull quite a bit. Like there were times in which I was pulling about 3 to 4 mobs at a time, and just using Storm into Fire just kill everything. I tried leveling up a Feral Druid recently, and yeah, I couldn't do that with my Feral Druid at all.
I know that was quite enjoyable for myself as Windwalker as well. With the change between Legion and into leveling and stuff, what was each of your favorite new thing that Legion brought for your spec that Battle for Azeroth brought for your spec that Legion did not? What was your top thing? Say for Brewmasters.
I mean, the war mode talents just let us do so much cheesy stuff in World PvP, especially right at the start of the expansion. And you still had legendaries, and you could get the incendiary brew or the incendiary breath for double damage, but double cooldown breath of fire with the disorient, and then refreshing it. And just, I mean, it feels terrible, but it feels terrible. In the sense that you are just being an awful human being to one person. But that, there's something fun about that sometimes in PvP. You just get one person and they don't get to play the game for 25 seconds. You don't really do much, you're just really, really annoying.
Yeah, I could see how that would be enjoyable. What about you, Anomaly, for Mistweavers? What's kind of your favorite new thing to play with, different from Legion?
I think a lot of the spell interaction changes they did, so with Vivify now requiring you to keep up Renewing Mist to get that kind of cleave heal going, they honestly just a lot of the individual changes they made to give us more interaction in our spells versus just, kind of casting Essence Font and being AFK in between those like Legion was. I think that's some of the bigger changes that I enjoy. So it's kind of the total package, not just one thing. Pretty happy with all the changes they made. Plus, they kind of nerfed everybody else from a healing perspective, so Mistweaver is kind of number one right now, which is always awesome.
Definitely. And Hina, you mentioned losing Strike of the Windlord coming into Battle for Azeroth. What is your personal favorite new thing that we've got?
There's not because we really didn't get anything. Probably War mode is probably the only thing I would say, is being able to PvP if you want it, PvP if you don't, being able to go PvE on a PvP server, stuff like that, where it's That's probably the biggest thing for me is being able to go into war mode or not.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I know that that's been fun for me as well. I don't think I've turned... I expected to turn war mode off almost instantly, and I have not turned it off yet. So that was something that I was enjoying a little bit more than I expected. But, okay, so how about what's the top thing that you miss now that you've spent some time in Battle for Azeroth? What's the one thing, you know, and if you could have brought it with you from Legion, really, you know, for any reason, you know, what's the one thing that you would have liked to have back that you no longer have?
Say please for give Brewmasters, me back my peg smash range. Please.
I knew you were going to bring that up. So for anyone who's not aware, maybe explain that a little bit.
We used to have in Legion we had an artifact trait that extended the cast range of Keg Smash by 10 yards from 15 to 25. And just, it's such a small thing, but man, losing that 10 yards just feels so bad. For anyone who played Brewmaster a lot in Legion, it's probably the first thing you notice when you like start playing the spec in BFA is just, wait, why can't I Keg Smash these mobs? Why are they not in range? Why do I have to get basically into melee to throw a keg at their face?
Yeah, no, then, and we mentioned that, you know, before that I've been playing a lot of Brewmaster at the start, and that was something that I hadn't noticed because I didn't have that experience in Legion as much. So it wasn't missed for me, but I could absolutely see how it would be missed for somebody who played Brewmaster a lot more. Anomaly, how about you? What's the one thing that you miss that you had in Legion that you no longer have anymore?
I mean, ability-wise, nothing. Like, Legion as a Mistweaver was kind of a really bad experience just across the board. I mean, potentially, like, early on in Legion, we didn't have a cooldown on Essence Bond. It was nice if you were the target of, like, a bunch of innervates and were able to get wisdom from your Red Paladin. So you could just kind of pump Essence Bond over and over again on the raid. But, I mean, for a large part, I'm happy that we're no longer in Legion as a Mistweaver. I think the one system that I think I missed that's not really specific to Mistweaver, honestly, it was like a larger follower system. It was interesting to have like bodyguards and everything out, and just kind of having a lot of, choice is the bad word because there's always going to be the best set to use, but I mean, having the ability to have a bodyguard or have like multiple missions out and everything like that. So it's probably the one thing I miss a little bit is there's a lot less free gold, I'll say, out in the world for you to kind of grab now.
Yeah, I think most people would echo the free gold statement now that our follower missions bring back like 70 or 100 gold as opposed to, you know, 1 to 2,000. You know, and then even before that in Warlords you had the farm and the herb garden and stuff like that. So there's definitely a lot less free gold out there in the world. Hina, how about you? What's the one thing that Windwalker had in Legion that it doesn't have now that you miss the most?
Actually, the chest, the legendary chest.
Oh.
If I had to say one thing, it's probably that ability. Being able to use Crackling Jade Lightning as a filler in some ways, which for some people may help with the whole downtime concern. But other than that, yeah, the free gold, probably the other... there was just too much gold going around in Legion. Getting 10k on one tune from doing just nothing.
Yeah, it's just inflation, man. They stat squished our gold.
No, it's awful now.
Oh, that's the price of potions.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's still ridiculous.
Why do you think I leveled up my leveling up my druid is because of herbalism, period, amen.
Yep, I still have my boost for Battle for Azeroth, and every day seriously consider using it on a druid for the sole purpose of herbalism. Because it is just ridiculous for a month in for things to be so expensive still. But alright, moving on. So the next topic is kind of the big one, I think, going into Battle for Azeroth, and that's Azurite gear. In Legion, we had our legendary system, we had the artifact trait system, plus the artifacts, then you had the relic system, then you tossed the Netherlight Crucible system on that, and then you had the tier bonus system and all that stuff. And for the most part, I believe the design decision was to try and consolidate all of those things into one, and that now being Azurite gear. So from the perspective of each of your class, how has that change been going from all those systems in Legion to now? Do you think it's a positive change? You know, how do you think other ways are better? You know, I think most people would agree that there are certain things that could still be worked out about it. You know, what are your guys' opinions on how that change of those major mechanics and parts of the game between Legion and Battle for Azeroth has gone? And anybody can speak up first.
So I kind of have been of the opinion that Blizzard oversold the Azurite system a little bit. I think when I first looked at it and I thought, this is supposed to be a replacement, you know, for legendaries and relics and artifacts and all of these things. I looked at it and I was like, there's no way this is replacing all this stuff. There's so much customization here. There's so much, like, impact that was contained in those systems. I mean, if you go back and, like, look at numbers and stuff like that, between legendaries and the artifacts and things like that, it was close to 30% or more of player power was wrapped up into those systems. I mean, it was a ridiculous impact. And I think that in their initial statement that Azurite was going to be all of those in one, I think it was maybe a little bit oversold. I think as I've looked at it more, it feels more like Azurite is a great replacement and iteration on the design of, like, relics and the Netherlight Crucible. It's basically taking the old relic system, making it so that item level is more impactful, and removing a lot of the inherent RNG of the Crucible in that system, while still keeping the same, you know, here's some spec flavor along with some generic roll flavor that you'll like. And something to work towards.
Yeah, I mean, I dislike the system so much as a replacement. I agree. Like, they tried to sell it as something like, hey, we're gonna take all this, like, set bonuses. You're right, set bonuses, legendaries, like, relics, everything in from Legion, and kind of distill it down into kind of this one little circle, right? And I think everything ends up feeling not as impactful because it's not that type of layered, that type of multi-layer system. It's a single level, right? So, like, from a Mistweaver perspective, like, our traits aren't impactful at all. Like, it doesn't, ultimately it probably doesn't matter what you pick in even the first tier, which are supposed to be the biggest ones, and as you get lower and lower and closer to the center of the ring, it's even less of a, you know, less of an impact, right? The choice really isn't there, and I think that's very bad from a system. And then you put on top of that the fact that you only really have a handful of chances to get Azurite gear during the week. So, like, if you don't get the drop from the boss, you know, that you need from a like, from a raid perspective in Aldir, or you don't get it from your chest from a Mythic Plus perspective, you're kind of screwed, right? And, like, for that set. So, like, from my perspective, I'm still running around with 340 Azurite gear, I think, in my shoulders, because I just haven't gotten a drop yet, and it feels bad, both because I think the trait in my shoulders is terrible, and I only get those two or three shots a week to get something. So.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree. I was doing some number crunching, and basically the first tier is each trait is worth about 3%. So there, you're expected to have about anywhere between 7.5 and 9% if you have all three traits in all three slots. The second tier is like half that, like 1.5 at most in terms of their viability. And then you have the fourth one, which is kind of survivability, and then you got the center. But overall, yeah, it's a drop down considerably from the 30% you were saying, where it's 30% from the legendaries down to 9, maybe 10% buff. So yeah, it's kind of lackluster overall. We'll have to see once the new raid zone, which this guy sent to the PTR, comes up with any new traits that we may be, that 9% may be higher with the new tier.
I will say that one of the things that I think they did better with the Azurite system than they have with the artifact system, at least so far, is they've been a lot more, I mean, this is kind of a sore spot for some specs as well. But they've been a lot more active in addressing outlier traits.
Windwalker monks, specifically.
I mean, it's a sore spot for some, it's a good spot for others, but they've been... I think that it's overall a good thing that they've been more active in addressing these things, as long as they're also keeping an eye on total, like, overall balance, which, I mean, we'll need to see how that plays out over a longer scale. But I am personally more happy that they're taking steps to address the like, outlier traits early and actively, rather than leaving something like... I mean, in Legion, Brewmasters had Facepalm, where Facepalm was worth, you know, 60 to 70 item levels on the relic, not even on your weapon, on your relic. So it was basically irreplaceable if you got it at a reasonable item level.
Thankfully they're fixing stuff like Swift Roundhouse Kick. And what was the other one that we were having issues with?
Another artifact trait that we were having issues with?
Yeah, I thought we had another one outside of Swift Roundhouse.
I think it was just Swift Roundhouse.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about, like, Sunrise Technique in beta when it was procking off of Russian Jadewind.
Right. Yeah, there was that as well. And they nerfed it so that it was only affected your active abilities, not Russian Jadewind.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, most people kind of agree with what you guys have said, that it was maybe a little bit oversold, you know, maybe a little bit incomplete or a little wonky. There are some pros, some cons, but, you know, at least right for now, it seems like the system we're going to have to live with. Doesn't seem like it's going away, despite the cries for people reworking it and stuff like that. But, you know, only the future will tell, I guess.
Yeah, and like I said, this we're getting a new raid, two new raids, so more chances for new traits coming patched, and maybe it'll tune them higher, just make it so that you will want those traits.
One of the things that made me most hopeful was that they were talking about even just as soon as the next tier, retiring some traits and replacing them with things that were more active. Like the Windwalker or the Mystery River trait, Uplifted Spirits, is one of the ones that I point to as being a good 1 point trait, I guess, kind of 1 point wonder in the revival cooldown on crit, is something that is potentially interesting, even if it's not tuned highly enough right now to be like ultra impactful. But that's the kind of thing that I look at it and say, this is something that is, you know, potentially really interesting with appropriate tuning.
Yeah. And I mean, it's basically just like the bracers with a different spell from like Legion. So I think you guys are right. I think they can change the traits, and I'm always hopeful. I think Blizzard does a really good job at iterating on systems they first try. Just my bigger concern with the system is more just how we acquire the gear, right? Because like, if I can get raid gear, like if I can get raid level gear from like doing it at a different, like doing it from a different source, particularly like from Mythic Plus, like it doesn't give me the incentive to get into the raid, right? Unless there are raid only traits. I think that's one of my things that I'm looking forward to, is like if the traits that are coming up, the new ones that they're adding, are just going to drop from gear from the new raid, or if it's going to be similar where, you know, they'll add it to like the Mythic Plus loot tables or something like that.
I do wish they had added a more robust pool of raid only traits. I do definitely agree there. I think Laser Matrix and Archive are kind of boring.
Yeah. Well, yeah, boring, and the fact that they're basically only going to be used for old gear, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I hearken back to what they called, they said, like, hey, this is also to replace, like, Azerite's also to replace your set bonuses, right? And, like, set bonuses weren't raid-only set bonuses, like, they still had uses, and people use them in, you know, Mythic Plus and other content, so the fact that, like, I don't know, I don't want to say I raid for gear, but I think there's an incentive of, like, hey, you get, like, a sweet piece of gear, right? And if there's no reason to actually do the raid to get that sweet piece of gear, like, it, I don't know, it kind of lessens my desire to potentially walk in. And that's kind of a I don't know, for me it's like a bad position, or it just kind of sucks.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, you know, with the raid only with the raid only traits, and with, you know, as was mentioned, the the scarcity of getting the Azerite traits in general, or, you know, from Mythic Plus, it does seem, you know, I think that would also kind of be my biggest complaint about it, is that they aim to replace the tier system, and it seems like they just got rid of the tier bonuses rather than actually replace them with anything. These don't really feel quite like the tier bonuses of old.
Yeah, that's, I think that's my point about, like, just the impactfulness, right? Because a lot of times tier bonuses, even at two set, were like huge deals. Like, you drop, you know, previous sets to get them. I think Legion was the first expansion where you had like weird things where like tier 19 two set and tier 20 four set were like a weird combination of being good. But I mean,
even that, even that only really became possible in Legion because they added a sixth slot to sets. You couldn't even do that previously.
Right, so I mean, I don't know. I'm like not sold on Azerite yet. I think it's just a system like you currently have to deal with if you want to play the game. And I mean, hopefully they get better. Like, I think they do. I think Blizzard, like I said, does a good job of iterating and making changes. But I mean, right now it's just like, if they could just get rid of it all, like I would be happy, to be honest with you.
Definitely. All right, so you know, that kind of covers mostly what I wanted to talk about that I had written down. So. I'm going to give each of you guys, if there's something that you want to mention, you know, maybe about 8.1 or just something, you know, something you kind of want to get off your chest about your spec, you know, you guys can pick the topic. So, Peo, we'll start with you.
So this is kind of a more, like, general thing that was, it came up during, because we were talking about early BFA and BFA launch and stuff like that. Which was just like one of my big kind of soapboxy kind of complaints about the game right now is just about the level of information available from Blizzard or from like official sources. I mean, one of the biggest sore spots for a long time during beta was, well, there were stated stagger changes, and the stated stagger changes were it scales with Agi in a nonlinear fashion. We had to go back, and I mean, it took a long time until probably I'd have to go look at the date, but I think estimating about a month before release was when we finally got a little more than a month before release was when we finally had someone pin down what the actual scaling formula and constants were for stagger. Just because, I mean, the extent of what we knew is it's somewhat like armor and it scales with agility. And it was just really, really frustrating from a theory crafting perspective to have to struggle to kind of reverse engineer this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. And I think everybody here can attest to this expansion maybe being a little bit different from previous ones as theory crafters and guide writers that really, and, you know, to kind of go back to the Azerite system, really was a lot that we kind of had to figure out on our own. You know, like you said, because things are, you know, not really stated anywhere. And I know before we got started, we talked about tooltips and stuff like that and how scarce some of the tooltips are with certain abilities in terms of leaving off kind of major interactions of those abilities, which really just kind of makes it harder for more casual players or for people who are not as familiar with the background stuff. So I absolutely agree with how much more difficult things seem to be this time around.
Yeah, because for both Warlords as well as Legion, there was a blue poster by the name of Celeste Vaughn. And for both of those betas, he about a month before pre-patch was released, he would set up a theory crafting thread that you would ask. It was specifically for theory crafters to ask theory crafting related questions, such as information about the stagger, for example. And we never got that. Celeston moved over to the Hearthstone team, and the only other person that was really doing any of the theory crafting was Stigma. And he did some during Legion, but I tried to start up unofficial theory crafting thread, but it never took off, and it was very disappointing.
That thread was actually where we finally got the formula for Stagger, if I remember right.
It was Swole from Ask Mr. Robot who figured it out. And yeah, it was through him that we got started on figuring out that ability. And Nav from the Simulation Craft development crew was able to get more information specifically about what those what's called K values that are, help differentiate the value, as well as figuring out that there's a zone modifier that increases that K value.
Yeah, and that's its own can of worms that I could talk for hours about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe we'll have a devoted theorycraft podcast in the future, and we'll just make people's ears bleed as their brains leak out with all the numbers.
Yeah. Oh, and before this kind of just recently, I was able to 8.0. You guys were kind of alluding to this earlier, but in 8.1, the big one of the big hulus was the fact that taunt tooltip was changed to remove the threat modifier. And I'm of the opinion, based off of what I'm seeing in the database, the threat modifier is not completely gone. It's just a tooltip removal. And even then, it appears that the threat modifier has been nerfed from 500% to 300%. So, as Ariel of my guild, as well as the tanking Tankcraft podcast stated, it's a big middle finger to the Guardian Druid's DPS.
And why is that, for those who don't play Guardian
Druid? The Guardian Druid's DPS is about a third of what everyone else is.
Gotcha. Yeah, so lacking the DPS will also mean lacking in threat, correct?
Yeah, they lean very heavily on that threat mod on taunt to actually hold aggro right now because of balancing issues.
Gotcha. All right, so Anomaly, anything that you want to mention to our listeners?
In the case of Mistweaver, not really. I mean, we have, I don't think there's any changes really on the 8.1 PTR for us. And if they are, they've been fairly minor tweaks. So I think in general, like just from an overall balance perspective, Mistweaver's in a really good spot. So I don't expect many changes going to 8.1. I think you'll see a lot of other changes to other healers beyond us, which will be interesting to see how like that kind of lays out with the next set of raids. But I mean, from a Mistweaver perspective, we're in a solid spot. So I mean, I don't think we have anything really coming up. I have some analyzer stuff coming up for WoW Analyzer, but that's kind of in the works to kind of fix. There's some bugs in the current code, so people probably have been messaging me and mentioning it. So that's really the only kind of Mistweaver specific stuff I know that we're working on. Just getting the analyzer up to date, and then yeah, we don't really have any changes. Which, I mean, to be fair, like towards the end of beta, getting into BFA, it was always nice when the patches hit and there were just zero changes for Mistweavers. Because that was like always the scare is like, hey, they're gonna nerf us, hey, they're gonna make some sweeping changes to bring us down. So, but we've stayed really consistent, and it seems like an 8.1, they're just kind of happy with where we're sitting right now. So it's not a bad place to be.
Yeah. Oh, and from a Windwalker perspective, I'm just so happy that they're fixing, reverting, excuse me, Good Karma. It's, for those who don't know, Good Karma during 8.0 increased Karma's damage redirect from 50% to 100% of one's HP. It's being reverted to its Azerite trait variation where it heals you instead of increasing the redirect for 100% of the damage you redirect. So if you do 25% of your HP as a redirect, you'll be healed for 25% of your HP.
That's a big change. I know the Mistweaver in our guild, I always ask him to take Ring of Peace on stuff, or not the Mistweaver, but the Windwalker, and he always yells at me that it's a damage or DPS decrease, so that'd be good.
Well, yeah. You'll still see people trying to cheese out Touch of Karma even with this change, but it's not going to be as prevalent.
Yeah, I think that was probably the biggest thing to mention for Windwalkers right now, going into 8.1 like that is, you know, like you said, Hina, it's really, it'll still be there. People will still, you know, if you want to get the most out of your Windwalker, you're still going to have to do that, but it should be a little bit easier. And, you know, in a situation like certain mythic bosses, you know, or bosses in general, where you might be enticed or might be needed to take Ring of Peace, it'll be less of a damage loss than it is currently. I know on Zekvaz, using Ring of Peace was super useful, and obviously Mithrax with the mind-controlled Ring of Peace is about as good as it comes. So I'm also personally very happy about that.
Yeah, same. like, a few examples I was using it on was Mother literally staying in the fire patches, Zul standing in the, it was in melee range, the pool that people have to soak, I would soak in it instead of someone else just to get the extra damage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was kind of a big talk in Discord over the past couple months, was the play style that it fostered. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and how it affects our DPS, whether they need to be any additional tuning, you know, and stuff like that. We'll figure that out over the next couple weeks and months, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can honestly, it's down to a numbers change, and I'm actually quite fine with that. If it's just numbers buff, I'm like, that's an easy change, especially with how the database is set up.
Mm-hmm. And we know that that's kind of been their preference, you know, the last, I'd say, couple years now at this point, of using those auras and stuff to tune the numbers a little bit easier for everybody.
Yeah, since Warlords, beginning of Warlords.
Yeah, all right. So the last thing, you know, I'd like for each of you guys to talk about, you know, for the listeners, obviously, hopefully they know that this podcast is mainly through peakofserenity.com. But what, you know, for your specs, what are kind of the resources that are super useful, whether it's for, you know, sims, spreadsheets, websites, guides, you know, whatever. What kind of stuff do you guys feel is useful for newer players or for players who are looking to learn more about, say, Brewmasters?
I mean, Anomaly's probably going to love me for this, but WoW Analyzer for, I mean, both Brewmaster and Mistweaver is absolutely incredible. Like, the amount of work that those guys have put in, and the amount of info that it actually, and good info that it actually gives you, is fantastic. The Brewmaster one has one tool that I think I've used more than any other that I haven't seen implemented anywhere else, which is just it being able to see your actual stagger pool over time. Is just such a, it, that alone is such an incredible tool for actually figuring out what's going on in a fight.
Yeah, I could see how that would be useful. What about for Mistweavers? What kind of tools can people use?
Yeah, I mean, I love WoW Analyzer, so I'm going to definitely point to that one. It's definitely a big one. But I mean, like, I think the standard guide places are really good now. I mean, Icy Veins and WoWhead are always a good spot to start and look and read up. And yeah, I mean, those would be like the three areas, like WoW Analyzer, you know, Icy Veins or WoWhead. And then, of course, you know, Peak is always good with Garg, and Total kind of writes some really good articles. So those are the three big ones.
Good. And how about Windwalkers, Hina?
Peak of Serenity and WoWhead for being able to get new people into the spec. WoW Analyzer to understand what you're doing in a fight and how you're doing. And then if you're really into it, Simulation Crafts, I hate to do it. On that one.
Yeah, no, I think that's important, and I think it's something that maybe the healers and tanks don't quite have the same access to in regards to certain sims. I know the Mistweaver in my guild was asking me all kinds of questions about sims this morning, because as a lifelong healer, he really had not, you know, he's looking to pick up Windwalker a little bit more on the side, and he really had no idea how to work with sims. So I know Juco has done some really amazing things with WoW Analyzer. I know it got much easier for Windwalkers as well, now that we're not using Swift Roundhouse, because that was kind of a pain. It's a little bit more, things are a little bit more straightforward now. And then, yeah, I would totally add SimCraft, RaidBot, stuff like that to the list. So there's a lot of really great tools that a lot of us are personally working on that we, you know, that we think really help a lot of people. So,
yeah, and one other thing is, if you are new to Windwalkers, there are a couple of ability suggester mods that are out there. You got Hiliki doing his mod thing, as well as there's a mod called Hero Damage, which I also help out because it's basically the same simulation craft crew that are doing it. So I help out keep that up to date as well. So if you do want something to at least get you into the rotation, those two mods do help out.
Good. I know that, you know, the use of rotation mods like that, it's a little controversial, but I do know that Hikili and Hero Damage, at least if you're going, if you feel the need to going to use one, those are definitely two of the best because they're the two that are most, I would say, well maintained by people who kind of know what they're talking about. But so that'll kind of wrap up, you know, that part. So the last thing that we'll try to do with every podcast, and hopefully we've not already gone too long, but the last thing we'll try and do with every podcast is take some questions from our patrons, the people who support the site, and all the content and stuff that we provide, including this podcast. So I'll take a couple questions from each of them. So I have four questions. We'll try and be a little bit brief with each of them, since we're kind of running over the time that I assumed we would try and stick to, even though I know we would go over. But so the first one comes from Waifbrew. And they ask, if you could take one ability from another spec to help your own, what would it be? So, Panini, how would you answer that?
Touch of Karma. Give me Touch of Karma.
I knew that's where you'd have to go. Right? A tank with Touch of Karma.
It's like, it's so thematic and it's so fantastic. It fits so well into a tank toolkit and it's sitting on a DPS.
Yeah, but, you know, the icon is blue. It's not that kind of orangish-brownish.
Oh, man.
Anomaly, how about you? If you could take an ability from Windwalker or Brewmaster to help Miss Weaver, what would you snag?
Probably Flying Serpent Kick. Give me some a little bit more mobility, and I can actually then solo run some orbs on Gahoon, which would be nice. So.
Yeah, I know that's very useful when doing that, but... So Hina, since the other two have selected Windwalker traits, as the Windwalker, what if you could steal an ability from one of the other specs, what would it be?
I would have to say Iron Skin Brew. Give a bit of more DPS, defensive ability, just for stuff like touch. Well, yeah, I would say anything to keep us more alive, especially because we are in melee so much.
Would you say that it would give you substantially more defensive ability?
Well, we used to have Zen Meditation.
Was a pun that I'm missing.
I was memeing about the fact that they changed the tooltip on Iron Skin Brew in BFA from saying the actual amount it increases stagger to substantially increases your stagger.
Oh.
That went right over our Windwalker heads.
Yeah, it did. All I look at is the numbers. I don't really look at the wording.
He just sees numbers, not text.
Yeah, basically.
All right, so the next question comes from Rich, who claims that he's the Gnome fan club leader, which is interesting. If there was one, you know, we kind of briefly talked about this. If there was one ability that your spec lost that you could have back, what would it be for Brewmasters?
We didn't really lose it as much as it just changed to a PvP talent, but if we could have the old raid cooldown avert harm back, oh my god, that would be spectacular.
And how about Miss Weaver's?
I'm going back before Legion. Like, we need some chi back on our Mistweavers. We don't need the whole chi system back. Like, that's what I want back.
What do you want to go even further back and go with the black and white?
Yeah, back to beta.
Black and chi and white chi?
Oh, God. Maybe not that far back.
That's showing off how long we've all been playing monks, if we're all referencing black and white chi.
Oh, I could reference the whole tiger statue.
Oh, yeah, summon Zuin. So, you know, what about you? You know, what ability did Windwalkers lose that you'd like to have back?
I will still go with the chest. Give me being able to cast Crackling Jade Lightning rotationally.
Yeah, see, and if I could go back in time to Legion and remove a legendary, I would choose that one 100 times out of 100.
Oh, come on. I like that legendary.
I don't like the speed. I don't like the increased speed. I like the nice slowness that we have now. So anything that increases my APM, I am not for. All right, so the next question comes from Rin Alice. How do you guys feel Monk as a whole are doing in Battle for Azeroth? You know, what kind of... How do you think that, not just specifically your spec, but kind of Monks as a whole, and what kind of things... What's something that you think Blizzard could add or improve to improve the class thematically? Not just, you know, functionally or mechanically, but from the whole Monk theme.
So I think that Monk as a whole is kind of doing... Well, I mean, all of the Monk specs do most of the same things they did in Legion. It's just kind of the environment shifting around that's made Brewmaster and Mistweaver very strong, along with, like, just numerical adjustments. I think Monk as a whole is faring pretty well. I know Windwalker's not doing as well as the other two specs, especially with the Swift Roundhouse nerf.
Yeah, but that's kind of a high bar at this point.
Yeah. But, like, I know I can speak for Brewmaster and Mistweaver, at least. It's a lot of it has just been the environment and encounter design and, you know, how much more prevalent tank damage is and how much lower tank self-healing is for other tanks. Is kind of, it's more the environment changing around Brewmaster that's made Brewmaster strong than actually the spec changing or anything really being done numerically to the spec.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Besides Windwalker, which is more of a numerical thing than anything else, overall, it's monks in general are in a good spot. Windwalker damage is kind of in the middle, but yeah, in terms of environment, it's just Brewmasters are really good right now.
What about you, Anomaly?
Yeah, I mean, basically, they kind of already said it. Like, Mistweaver got some changes that I think were needed from a rotation perspective, but in general, like, everybody else didn't get better, and, you know, most classes, at least from a healing perspective, got worse than their Legion counterparts. So it kind of just, Mistweaver just rose to the top from the fact that, you know, we really kind of stayed the same. So yeah, I think, I mean, in general, like, from what I've heard, you know, Brewmaster and Windwalker, and at least Brewmaster's doing well, Windwalker, I don't really play much and follow it, but it seems like you guys are at least kind of happy. So yeah, I mean, I think monks are in a good spot, like moving into the next raid, moving to the next set of content. I think you can, I mean, before, you know, Legion, at least for Mistweaver, like you really couldn't push Mythic Plus with them. You could raid with them, but you know, there was easier classes, better classes to raid on them with. So, it's nice coming into BFA, being like one of the better classes in general. I guess the second part of this was like, what would you improve? I think at this point, like, I don't think I'd touch Mistweaver, just for the fact, like, I wouldn't want to ruin it. So I think Blizzard's done a really good job with the class, at least at this point. I think there's just some other systems, like we talked about earlier, that aren't really monk-specific or class-specific that they should probably focus on.
Yeah, I think in terms of Brewmaster, I think the only thing that you could really touch to kind of improve Brewmaster would be adding more self-healing, and any self-healing that you add to Brewmaster is going to be absolutely insane in terms of power added, because that's basically been the primary weakness of the spec thematically and design-wise for a long time, is just very low self-healing, but very any healing they get is very efficient. So it's kind of a... It's a wish list item that I know is never going to happen in terms of wanting to get a little bit more self-healing.
Just kind of one of those things.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then from Windwalker, I would say right with the good karma change, really the only thing is numbers tuning. I know some people are complaining about this, how slow the spec feels, but other than that, I'm kind of wishy-washy on that front. I'm kind of, yeah. But overall, but other than that, it's the numbers. It could use a little bump, but I, at this point, I'm not holding my breath.
Gotcha. All right. So the last question comes from Mickey or Rook, you know, as he may be known, and that is, I'm assuming somewhat of a reference to last year's AMA. In that, what is each of your favorite cookie recipe?
Oh, I love peanut butter cookies. I love peanut butter cookies so much.
Just plain, straight up peanut butter?
Oh, I can. If you want me to find you a recipe, I can find you a lot of recipes.
Are these like the ones that you take the fork and you make the little pattern on the top?
Yeah.
Okay. Nomaly, what about you? What's your cookie of choice?
Oh, God. So it's a toss-up between, like, a really warm chocolate chip cookie or just sugar cookies. Like, I probably have to go with sugar cookies. I could eat mounds of sugar cookies. It's so good.
And, Hina, what about you? What's your cookie du jour?
It's a toss-up between ginger snaps and Thin Mints.
Oh, okay. Ginger snaps, not a popular one, I think. If you asked a bunch of people with that, you know, that question, I don't think that would come up too often.
Yeah, I was actually eating some ginger snaps just for the podcast, so.
There you go. I think I'd, you know, personally, I'd have to go with just your standard chocolate chip cookie. You know, I make my own. It's one of the few things I do actually cook or bake, and I think they're pretty damn good. You just a straight-up Nestle Toll House recipe, and you just add a little bit more brown sugar, and that's it. It adds a little bit more sweetness, a little bit more chewiness to the cookie, and I think that's just about magical. But I will give you that Thin Mints, you know, in terms of cookies you can buy, Thin Mints are about as top-notch as they come.
Yep.
All right, okay, but here's the thing. Do you like cold Thin Mints or just like room temperature Thin Mints?
No, you freeze them. You put them in the freezer.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure.
I'm up for anything. I'll eat them room temperature. I'll eat them cooled off.
I mean, if I had to choose, you know, if I didn't have an option, I'd, you know, eat them room temperature. But I find they also go much slower if I hide them in the freezer. Otherwise, I'll eat a whole box in an afternoon. But, right,
so true.
So that kind of brings to an end. You know, we absolutely 100% went over the original 30-minute time that we figured. I think we're pushing closer to an hour. But if that's what works, then that's what works. So thank you guys very much for coming to this first Peak Craft podcast, unless we come up with a better name for that. It's a little bit difficult to say with all those sounds together. But thank you, you know, you three for showing up and representing your specs. And answering a lot of the questions and giving everybody some information. So thank you guys for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, so that's going to bring the podcast to an end. Thank you very much to our guests. Thank you very much to those of all of you who are listening. If you liked what you heard, we're going to try and put one out every week. I'm going to attempt to get us on iTunes and Google whatever and all that stuff after we're done recording, so that everyone has a little bit more access to it. But we do post these on Peak of Serenity website. If you like this kind of content, the written content, all the stuff that we do on Peak and the rest of us do for the community, please consider supporting us through Patreon and PayPal. Going through Patreon gets you access to the special donors channel where you can ask us questions that we'll answer during this podcast like we did, and as well as it may get you some extra goodies in the future as the podcast continues to grow and evolve. So hopefully you enjoyed the first Peak Craft podcast and things went as smoothly as they could. So thank you very much for listening. Again, thank you to the guests. And have a good night, morning, afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are.